Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday to you. You're welcome. We're excited about our Easter week. This begins Holy Week. Today, Palm Sunday. We're going to look at the scriptures this morning and look at the Palm Sunday event. This is a great time for inviting your friends or neighbors or anyone that you've been praying for to come to church and have an experience where they can know God, find freedom. They can discover they have a purpose to make a difference with their lives. We find that Christmas and Easter time are the easiest times to do that. People are thinking about and talking about probably just some kind of a church background, or they're just aware of it because in the community, people are about Easter kind of business. And it's just an exciting time. And I mentioned to you that we're living in a day when God is really moving in a powerful way all across our nation, across America. So just some wonderful things that are taking place, like this church plant this morning in Cochrane, Alberta. I was speaking to our former youth pastor, Paul Lequier, just this past week. And he's in Orlando, Florida. He and Lindsay are in Orlando helping a church there. They're on staff. He was the it's a larger church. He was the first impressions pastor, which means he's in charge of all things, help the unchurched when they come into the house of God, understand what's happening, and be able to belong before they believe. And now he's the campus pastor there. And he was sharing with me some of what God is doing. Last year in 2024, they baptized 1,006 people. Just a small baptismal service. He said, Pastor Roy, I wouldn't have believed it if you had told me about it. He said, but I was in one of the tanks and personally baptized over 100 people as God's just been moving and people are responding. Their weekly attendance 2 years ago was 2,400. Average weekly attendance, and this year it is now 5,600 in weekly attendance. People coming to know Jesus. Come on, put your hands together and thank the Lord for what he's doing. Let's invite someone next week, Easter Sunday morning, to come and be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. Well, this is Holy Week, as I said. This is the first day of what has been called throughout history as Holy Week, when Jesus makes his way back into Jerusalem, but it'll be his final trip in as he'll be crucified on the cross later this week on Friday. Tomorrow, if I just use the week that way, we'll look at Palm Sunday today, but tomorrow he'll go into the temple and he'll clear the temple, overturn the tables because of what the religious leaders have done to the house of God, that they've made it very difficult for people to find God. They've made it very difficult. In fact, they've said you have to buy it with money. You have to keep the law a certain way. And Jesus overturns the temple and snaps a whip in just his response to this is not the house of God. Tuesday, he'll go to the Mount of Olives and pray, and he'll give the what's known as the Olivet Discourse, where he'll teach there. And Judas later will make a deal with the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees to sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Wednesday is a quiet day in the scriptures. We don't know a lot about what happened on Wednesday, except that preparations were being made for the Passover meal that they would have together, Jesus and his disciples, on Thursday. Not before he would go to Gethsemane, and that means the olive press, and that word Gethsemane, where Jesus literally was pressed by the weight, the thought of carrying the sin of this world. The Bible says he was made sin for you and I. He was guilty of our sin. The guilt of our sin was placed on Jesus. And as he thought about that three times as he went off to pray and asked his disciples to join him, and each time they fell asleep, and in his moment that he needed them the most, they're snoring off to the side, but Jesus crying out to his Father that this cup should pass. And then he understands in that third prayer, not my will, but yours be done. He would celebrate the Passover, wash his disciples' feet, and early the next morning would begin what we call Good Friday, but not really good at all as we look at that moment when Jesus would be falsely accused, falsely executed for nothing that he ever did, but took our place on the cross, on a Roman cross, became sin, guilty of our sin, died in our place, and placed in a tomb. Friday and Saturday, Jesus would be laying, his body would be in that tomb, but his spirit would be in another place that's referred to in the Bible as Abraham's bosom. The place where all the Old Testament saints, when they had died in faith, were being held, so to speak, until the moment that Jesus would break out of the grave. The triumphalism of breaking through the grave is not only that Jesus resurrected, but the Bible says he took captivity with him in the train of his robe. And as he ascended into the heavenly sanctuary, put his own blood on the mercy seat, as Hebrews tells us, here on earth it's just a model, but in the heavens before God, that all sin was satisfied, that he went with the whole company of Old Testament people that in faith were waiting for the moment that Messiah would come. He had told the thief, he said, this day you'll be with me in Abraham's bosom or in paradise. But they didn't stay long. That he busted out of hell, he busted out of the grave, and he took those that were waiting with him into the very presence, his presence and the presence of God forevermore. When we die, the same thing happens. Our spirit is with him, but we're awaiting the resurrection of our bodies in that last resurrection. And so Easter, that was Saturday, and Sunday morning he arose and did all those things I just said. As we look at the Easter story, really the essence of Christianity, it is what makes Christianity different than any other world religion. Really, we're defined by the Easter story. Yes, God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus. Jesus took on humanity, definitely a part of our story. But the story of salvation of sin is in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's not just in Friday we celebrate Good Friday. It's not just Friday, because without the resurrection, there could not be, he was not who he said he was. He had to be God to be able to pay the eternal price of man having given our eternal life to Satan. We traded, we turned our back on God. We relinquished eternal life. We were separated from God. In order to receive eternal life, Jesus would have to give his eternal life to all those who believe. That couldn't happen without a resurrection. And so without a death, without a burial, without a resurrection, this morning on this Palm Sunday, I want to show you that our Easter story is not complete without our Palm Sunday either. That is a strong message in Palm Sunday that we need to consider today. Father, I thank you for this beautiful season that we're a part of. Let us be reminded, Lord, as we have communion together on Good Friday, Lord, as we celebrate your resurrection on Sunday, next Sunday, it will be so exciting. But today we pause, and as your followers, we pause today and consider what it means to follow you, to be a Christ follower. Lord, let it be clear. Help our hearts to receive now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, let me just read the account of from John of the Palm Sunday event. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. The city is filled with people there to celebrate the Jewish Passover, but the Passover would now be fulfilled in the Passover lamb. John had said, there's the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Little did anyone know that the lamb would be sacrificed on Friday, the true Passover lamb, Jesus himself, the fulfillment of what the Passover lamb was in the first place. The people were there for that festival. They heard the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and he sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, that these things had been done to him. We're going to hold that, and we're going to answer that question today. What did the disciples not understand? What was it they didn't fully get as they stood on the sides of the streets in Jerusalem as this grand event happened that we call Palm Sunday? Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. So those that had witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead after 4 days start joining the excitement of this crowd. Many, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. I want you to picture the streets lined up on both sides on the way into Jerusalem, kind of like our Santa Claus parade, but without all the filler. You know how you stand downtown, it's cold, and you know there's all the advertising of all the community events, and there's this, there's that, there's the other thing, and then finally, you know, after what seems like too long, Santa, which is the reason we're there, kids are screaming, they don't want to even be there anymore. There's Santa Claus. Who cares? Let's go home. I'm cold. You know, and so not that kind of a parade, that the person of interest, Jesus himself, is in walking down the street, riding on this, the colt of a donkey. And as they wave these palm branches, very significant, that there is something happening we need some historical Wikipedia help to understand what's happening. That those palm branches were of great significance, that in that era, that they would be waved at the end of a battle. That these people in the street were somehow understanding that Jesus was a king, a victorious king, the king of all kings, and that a victory of all victories in their mind had already been won. That he had come, Messiah had come as the Bible said he would. And so they began to wave the branches and shout praises and identify Jesus as King of Kings, the Messiah, the promised one. God, salvation, and salvation was here. The atmosphere was charged. The more they declared it, the more the shouting increased, and literally there was dancing in the streets. Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. What could he not do? There's nothing he can't do. And the praises grew louder, and the significance of Hosanna. And this is, they identified him as the one that David even spoke about throughout the Old Testament and in the Psalms. He fulfilled for those that had gone to synagogue school and knew a little bit about their Old Testament, the only scriptures they had at that time, and it would just have been read in the synagogue. But they would have remembered Zechariah chapter 9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." They were shouting Hosanna, which literally means salvation is right now, in this moment, we're experiencing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. The crowds were seeing Jesus for who he really was, but they could not understand what he was about to do. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified, raised from the dead, did they realize that all these things have been written about him and that these things have been done to him. Salvation now, they were saying. But it wouldn't be available until Sunday. It wouldn't be available until he had raised from the dead. The first to be saved, to experience salvation, were the ones in the room that Jesus walked through the wall and he breathed his spirit on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They received God's indwelling spirit. They were the first to actually understand and know what salvation is and was and experience. They knew God in a new and profound way as they realized Jesus himself was God. When we talk about salvation at Harvest, at the end of a service, which I'll do today, and every chance we get is we want to communicate God's love for people, and we want you to know God. We don't want you to know about God. We want you to have an experience. We want you to personally experience and come to know Jesus. And so we say things like, how would you like to live forever? Would you like to have your sins forgiven and have a fresh start? How would you like to spend eternity with Jesus? How about beginning that eternity right now in this moment, because you can encounter his presence as you receive him and his indwelling presence will live in you. How about his power and provision here on this earth to help us each and every day? Would you like to know victory and prosperity? Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? And of course, people respond and say, yes, I'd like to receive that. I'd like to receive Jesus. The good news, the gospel, the promise of God, it really costs us nothing, because you can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but it costs Jesus everything. Would you say everything with me? Everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. The presentation of the good news, the gospel, which as a church, we are all about. As individuals, we want to be all about to share with the world the gospel, the good news. But this morning, I want you to understand that we're not presenting a gospel on the side of the road going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It is not a salvation now without Friday, without Saturday, and without Sunday. And the people of Palm Sunday were the same voices that yelled, crucify him, just a couple of days later, because they did not understand what it meant to follow him into Jerusalem and to the place of the cross. And so God loves the world. All we have to do is believe in this beautiful gospel that's given. But this morning, I want to remind us that believing that means that you take action and you follow him. Believing is not just a mental assent that says, I really like that. That sounds really good. I think I want that. But following Jesus is a decision that we actually believe, give mental assent, but then in faith step into the new birth and the new life, which allows us to become a follower of Jesus.